Baltimore's Long Night.
Citizens are safe. The city is stable.
Ultimate Punishment before the Supreme Court.
A review of lethal injection drugs.
Emotion.
The police just holding people into
at the movie massacre trial. Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup.
No justice! No peace!
There were plenty of people in the streets of Baltimore last night, but for the most part, calmer heads prevailed.
No violence. That's it. That's what I'm out here for. No violence at all.
24 hours after a night of fires and looting on the heels of the funeral of Freddie Gray, who suffered fatal injuries in police custody, CBS's Jeff Pegues tells us Baltimore was tense, but mostly peaceful.
The citywide curfew took effect at 10 o'clock, but people remained on the streets. Some throwing bottles and rocks. Officers dressed in riot gear launched smoke canisters into the crowd. Protesters hurled them right back. Self-appointed peacekeepers pleaded with people to get off the streets, including Congressman Elijah Cummings.
I ask you to quietly go home.
And Vietnam veteran Robert Valentine.
You cannot prove anything with your anger. Sit down to the table and talk.
10 people were arrested. The curfew seemed to work overnight. This morning, WTOP Radio's Nick Iannelli is outside City Hall.
The National Guard is out in full force. There are barricades surrounding City Hall. Soldiers dressed in fatigues, wearing helmets, and carrying big black rifles are staring straight at anybody who comes close to the building.
The woman captured on video hitting and yelling at her 16-year-old son, who was confronting police Monday night, is speaking out. Here's CBS's Heather Bosch.
It's the tone of voice that every kid knows when it comes from his own mother.
Get over here now!
Toya Graham had just looked at a crowd of people throwing rocks at police.
And my son is actually coming across the street, hoodie on and a mask.
But the 16-year-old couldn't hide from mom.
At that point, I just lost it.
A viral video shows her apparently trying to slap some sense into him, heavy-handed.
That's my only son. And at the end of the day, I don't want him to be a Freddie Gray.
Heather Bosch, CBS News.
After games the last two nights were postponed, the Baltimore Orioles will play the White Sox this afternoon at Camden Yards with no fans allowed in. And weekend games against Tampa Bay have been moved to Florida. Schools in Baltimore are back in session today. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments in a case that challenges the use of a drug employed by some states when they carry out the death penalty. CBS's Barry Bagnano reports this morning from Oklahoma City.
The botched execution that sparked this review occurred here in Oklahoma exactly 1 year ago today. Clayton Lockett had been declared unconscious after receiving the sedative midazolam. Associated Press correspondent Sean Murphy witnessed what the state prison warden later called a bloody mess.
He was laboring to breathe, tried to lift up off of the gurney, straining against the restraints, mumbling. I could hear him say the word man clearly.
Death penalty opponent Connie Johnson says the justices should declare lethal injections to be cruel and unusual. Punishment.
The least we can do is get it right, and we didn't. So why are we doing this?
State Attorney General Scott Pruitt's office declined numerous interview requests. CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen notes several states have put executions on hold until this case is resolved.
This isn't a referendum on the death penalty, but it could affect the way it's implemented. Already we're seeing states prepare by going back to firing squads and gas chambers.
Barry Bagnetto, CBS News, Oklahoma City.
A Colorado jury is hearing the stories and the sounds the night in 2012 when a movie theater was shot up and 12 people died.
6-year-old Veronica Mosley and her pregnant mother were shot as they sat in the movie theater alongside babysitter friend Kaylin Bailey, who called 911.
Okay, where are they right now?
Jurors hear the panic plea from a teenager trying to save a 6-year-old girl, the youngest shooting victim. Gunshots left her pregnant mother partially paralyzed, and she miscarried. Lee Frank, CBS News, Centennial, Colorado.
Attorneys for James Holmes hope to convince the jury he was insane at the time of the massacre. Aid officials say it may take several days to get help to earthquake survivors in remote parts of Nepal. The death toll tops 5,000. CBS's Seth Doan in Kathmandu says some people are still being found alive amid the rubble.
Rescue workers drilled and pried for 5 hours. Ultimately pulling 28-year-old Rishi Kanal out of the rubble alive. They've been trapped near dead bodies for around 80 hours. My nails went all white and my lips cracked, he said. I was certain I was going to die. The stories of miracles here are few. On the streets of Kathmandu, we found mounting frustration and saw police in riot gear for the first time since the quake.
Well, here at home, a United Express flight from Raleigh to Newark made an emergency landing yesterday in Philadelphia. Those on board say they heard a loud noise, felt the plane drop, and noticed an engine fire. Passenger Alan Cheney says it was a relief to get back on the ground.
So a lot of clapping, and then the pilot got on and said, everybody, get out. Stop clapping, just get out.
One passenger went to the hospital with chest pains. There's a new look at how eighth graders are doing on subjects like history and geography. CBS's Vicki Barker joins us with the latest report card.
Only about a third of kids tested knew most Americans believe America should be a democracy. Fewer than half could interpret different time zones on a world map. In fact, only 1% of test takers in U.S. history scored in the advanced level, with geography and civics faring little better. That has educators asking, how will these kids make sense of issues like terrorism, race, and poverty in the future if they don't understand their past? Steve?
Well, there's word this morning the Justice Department will seek criminal charges against Lumber Liquidators. A 60 Minutes report found the company's laminate flooring made in China contains high levels of formaldehyde. More than 100 class action lawsuits have already been filed by customers. Jack Ely, lead singer of the Kingsmen, has died at 71. He's known for belting out Louie Louie, one of the most familiar songs ever, covered hundreds of times, and subject of an FBI investigation. Convinced it was obscene in 1963, the FBI eventually determined the song was unintelligible at any speed. President Obama and Japan's visiting prime minister have gone to great lengths to praise the two countries' strong alliance. CBS's Pam Coulter has more from the White House.
After a uniquely American welcome to Washington, the Japanese prime minister receives a long-awaited honor, the chance to address a joint meeting of Congress. It was 70 years ago that World War II ended with American atomic bombs dropped on two Japanese cities. The Brookings Institution's Maria Solis expects Shinzo Abe to talk about reconciliation.
It has been indeed remarkable if you think about how much these countries have moved forward in really cultivating strong security ties, but also friendship.
Pam Coulter, CBS News, The White House.
At a state dinner for Abe last night, President Obama recited haiku, and the Japanese leader quoted from the song Ain't No Mountain High Enough to make a point about U.S.-Japan relations. That's the World News Roundup for Wednesday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.